File 951. Where's Senator Mahal?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. First of all, thank you for your patience and thank you for your willingness to convene at the end of such a long day to address this bill. As you know, we had an opportunity to present this bill to you several weeks ago. There were some issues that were raised, as well as some concerns about the fiscal note. And at that time, there was uncertainty about whether or not the fiscal note actually took into account the amendment that we had put on the bill in the committee. So we laid the bill on the table, and I have since then had an opportunity to chat with the Supreme Court. They had done the fiscal note to the language that was in the House, and now they've had an opportunity to look at our bill with the amendment, with the author's amendment on it, and they've given us a new fiscal note to address that. And so concern number one was the fiscal note, and Mr. Turner has that information. And I guess I'd like him to brief the committees on the fiscal note, and then I will move on to the rest of the discussion.
Mr. Chairman and members, there were two problems with the fiscal note before. One was the creation of the registration system. It cost $450,000 estimated. That has been put back until fiscal year 2013, and it will be paid for by the fees that are levied on guardians and conservators. The other problem was the cost of the court and added workload. The court has said that they, and it says so in the note, that they feel that they can absorb these costs. And so it has a zero general fund impact. It has a miscellaneous special revenue fund impact of $450,000, which is offset by $450,000 in fees. And that all takes place in fiscal year 13.
Very good. Mr. Bacchus? Who are you?
Mr. Chair, does the A7 amendment reflect that change? Is that what we need to do now?
So, Mr. Chair, members, the A5, there was an author's amendment, and then we did the A5 amendment. And so that fiscal note actually is the reflection of the amendments that were adopted in committee the last time when we heard the bill. Now, I will then move on to the A7 amendment. The A7 amendment lines 1.3 to 1.6, in particular lines 1.3 and 1.4, I believe, is an attempt to further address the potential impact with the where the court said that whatever potential impact there will be is absorbable by the court. It's anticipating that, although that fiscal note is not drawn to the A7 amendment. So I think the advocates drew this language to try to further tighten any other further areas of concern. But I have two witnesses here to testify to the two different parts of the A7 amendment, and they'll help clarify that.
Are you prepared to offer that now? Senator Higgins.
I didn't draft the A7 amendment. I assume the A7 amendment was drafted the original bill, not the CE1, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just use the CE1 as kind of like an expression of what this division has done, but maybe work off the original bill with the amendment. Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, it looks like page 8 after line 22. Here we go.
No, we don't have original bills. We just have the committee of
endorsement. Madam Chair, perhaps we can get a copy of the original bill.
Actually,
bills. As the bills are coming around to the committee members, why don't we have Ms. Kelso talk to the first part of the A7 amendment?
Please. Identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, my name is Kathleen Kelso. I'm with the Mental Health. My name is Kathleen Kelso, and I'm with the Mental Health Association of Minnesota. And this number three, any restrictions placed on the ward's right to communication and visitation with persons of the ward's choice and the factual basis for those restrictions actually relates to, if you will go to the Bill of Rights, I want to take you to the Bill of Rights on page 2. Now, we're working off the first engrossment. Is that correct, what we have in front of us?
Yeah.
Bill of Rights number 10.
What page is that on?
And that would be on page 3, number 10. Communication and visitation. Line 13. Communication and visitation with persons of the ward or protected person's choice, provided that if the, and here Senator Moy will offer a verbal amendment, provided that if the guardian has found that certain communication or visitation may result in harm to the ward's health, safety, or well-being, that communication or visitation may be restricted, but only to the extent necessary to prevent harm. That one word, Mr. Chair, was a concern for a great number of people. Rather than having to go back to the court every time a guardian sensed that there was harm to the ward. And that also created a problem in the fiscal note. We agreed, all of us, to change the word from court to guardian. And then the new language on A7, that sentence, relates to any restrictions placed on the ward's right to communication and visitation with persons of the ward's choice, and the factual basis for those restrictions would be entered into the annual well-being report already required by law.
So, Mr. Chair?
Senator Higgins.
I will move that on line 3.14 of the first engrossment, or 3.19 of the committee engrossment, delete the court and insert guardian.
Correct.
All right, we have that. Do we have any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails.
So that explains the context of the first half of the A7 amendment. And now I have a second witness to explain the second half of the A7 amendment, starting from line 1.7 to 1.10.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Reed LeBeau, and I represent CNA Surety. The language that we are proposing in lines 1.7 to 1.10 is merely to clarify the bonding requirement that is provided on, if you look at the first engrossment, page 13, 13.21. Line 1.7 of the amendment simply ties the bonding requirement to the initial inventory, which is required by law when an estate is created. And then line 1.9 is simply a grandfather clause. We had concerns about what our liability would be when we came in to an estate that already existed. We've worked with the proponents of the bill and other interested parties. Nobody's had a problem with our language. Senator Moy has been very great to work with on this, so we appreciate your time.
So, Mr. Chair and members, that's the A7 amendment.
All right.
I hope somebody would move that.
Senator Limmer would move the A7. Discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Wall.
So, Mr. Chair, members, the reason for us laying this over was to address some of these areas where there were some concerns about it being implicating cost. We now have the fiscal note. We have the A7 amendment to help tighten it and clear up some of the language. The bond language was going to be put on as an amendment the last time around. We just incorporated that to the A7 amendment here. And so unless members have questions or would like a further discussion on the content of the bill, I've tried to address all the concerns that were raised, I'm willing to take questions from the members. I know that a couple organizations were in opposition to this bill. They continue to be in opposition to the bill. I don't think that we're at a point where the issues that they are in opposition to are no longer wordsmithing, but there are structural issues in the bill. We're creating a registry and a certification process, and those organizations are in opposition to the creation of the registry and the certification, and that's a big part of the bill. And so I think that they have been very cooperative. We've worked as best as we can to clean up and tighten language where there are word differences and concept differences. But on those two big differences, I mean, it's what's in the bill. So I just want to put that in the record and be upfront with the members of the committee.
Members have questions? Senator Limmer.
Chair, last time I was here with Senator Ma, we met with both of the warring groups, let's say, and we had hoped that the groups would have come together in some way to have a unity. And I told them at that time I would not support the bill unless they were unified. So if they're not unified, I cannot support the bill. So. Nothing against Senator Moore. She's had a lot of patience in it, but I'm going to stand on my word.
May I speak to that, Senator Limmer? Very fortunately, I'm sorry, Kathy Kelso with the Mental Health Association. Fortunately, due to the fact that we had a lot of time today to speak with a couple of the guardians and conservators, we did more discussion, and that followed discussion that we had the day of the hearing the first time around. It did lead to changing the word from court to guardian. It did lead to this new amendment that we just put on. We all agreed on that amendment. In the House, it led to new language regarding the health care agent that Representative Thiessen put on the House companion. But we didn't want to bring that here because we didn't want to get too far into policy discussion. So we have come together on numerous aspects of the bills, although they're different. And we have agreed that when the dust settles, we're all going to be getting back together again on a regular basis to talk about yet other things that we haven't really resolved through our legislation.
I would suggest,
Senator Limmer.
That you have your discussion before you write your bill next time, mm-hmm. because Senator Juan and I were placed right in the middle of two groups, and we were trying to do the best for the people of the state of Minnesota, and having a dispute that was pointed at the time we had our discussion, it didn't help us give us the right direction. Mm-hmm. And so in one regard, we're kind of going in a direction, kind of hoping that it works out for everyone. But then again, there's still fundamental differences. So,
and Senator Limmer, you probably remember that there was a 5-month study group that convened, and we all attempted to come to agreement on many topics. And the Supreme Court Administration Office determined that the only report that would be released would be a consensus report. And so there was so little consensus, there wasn't a whole lot to recommend. And rather than write a minority report, we decided to come in with a bill in order to address the concerns that we had that were not addressed in that study group. So we felt this was our only alternative.
Further questions? Comments? Pardon?
I'll move the bill.
I want to have an opportunity to members in the audience here, we're concerned about the fiscal matters in this hearing committee, and so if you've got something that relates to fiscal aspects of it, why please come forward. Would you please state your name for the record?
Certainly, Senator. My name is Rick Davies. I'm with the Patrick J. Thomas Agency. We're a surety bond company that's been writing court bonds, probate bonds, for a family doing it for some 90 years. I put my name in to talk with you briefly, and I realize you've been busy all day long. Originally, I was concerned about the fiscal note that was attached to the bill originally being, you know, some $1 million. I understand that that has been amended, and the fiscal note has been reduced to zero, I guess, the impact, which surprises me just a little bit, how it could be so much at 1 minute and then reduced another minute to almost nothing. So I just wanted to, I work closely with the court system, and our friends in the court system are running out of money like everybody else in the state, and they're having a hard time trying to figure out how they can make ends meet. Try to suggest to me they come over and talk with you folks. They seem to be kind of busy, and so as I understand it now, the fiscal note has been reduced to zero, so I guess that's a non-issue any longer. It doesn't have any impact. And then the only other thing I had to reference, and I don't know if I left a provision. As a surety bond person, when I looked at your language in the bill about requiring surety coverage, which is a way to force people to be accountable, and my industry then has to underwrite for them, And somebody made a very adroit observation and put in a provision that the bonding provisions wouldn't become operative until after the legislation was passed. Getting around the problem of trying to annotate surety coverage to all those files that were open before, and that's good because it's a 1931 case called Broman versus O'Connell, called Broman by name. And one of the problems has been that if a surety company writes a bond and they don't write the language just correctly, all the coverage goes right back to the beginning of the administration, even if there was no bond. So I had left with Reed a suggestion that if you're going to amend that provision to say it's effective after August 1st of this year, that you then put in, and I left the language, or until after the next account is allowed by the court, which would mean you would be able to put a floor in underneath which then you could put surety bond coverage on. And if your desire was to protect individuals, vulnerable adults, that could be done, and over a period of time after two or three years, all through all the accountings, then there could be surety bond coverage that would protect those individuals. And I don't know. I'm sorry. We were thinking you were going to be in a little bit later, and so we were going to sneak out for a bite and heard from Kathy right away that you were starting business again. So I apologize for not being here.
One of the aspects, if you do nothing on the expiration date there, that it automatically becomes a law on the 1st of August anyhow.
Mr. Chair, that's not the point. I understand the point, because right now you've got a lot of conservatorships that are already out there.
Yeah.
What the language of the A7 amendment says that for conservatorships appointed, let's see, the bond requirement does not appoint before August 1st of 2009, which means I would guess that after August 1st of 2009, the court has to start applying this bond requirement. I'm not quite sure I agree with Mr. Davis, though, because if it says it does not apply to conservators appointed, what do they do? Well, you know, I guess I can see one issue here. What do they do when these conservatorships that were appointed, say, maybe 5 years ago, they come back to court periodically, and the next time they come on up, should the court now require a bond when it comes up for review, say, 2 years from now, the next time the court looks at it? Or do they totally exempt it because it doesn't apply to appointed before August 1st? It just it doesn't say one way or the other. And I suspect that what the intention here is that as the current conservatorships come back to the courts, maybe the courts ought to be putting this bond requirement on them. But since it doesn't really say one way or the other, I don't know what where our intention is. Is that Mr. Chair, Mr. Davis, is that what you were referring to?
Yes, Senator Betzel, Chairman Senator Betzel. My concern was that if your intent is to cover all of these people, eventually or provide protections for vulnerable adults, you will have a certain group that will never have that opportunity or have that protection. That'll be anybody that had a file appointed before August 1st of 2009.
So, Mr. Chair, with the assistance of the committee, in particular Senator Betzel, I agree. And I would like to clarify the language that we've adopted or add maybe an amendment to the bill to make sure that that intention is explicit. That as it comes up for renew, that the new bond requirements get put on each case.
Members, are there any support for that obligation?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it makes some sense. It's just that the A7 Amendment lines 9 and 10 don't quite reflect it because it just flat out says that if any conservatorship was appointed before August 1st of 09, there's no bond requirement. And if it's our desire to have bond require, I mean, you can't just say, okay, everybody has to have a bond because then now you require everybody to come back to court on short notice and do it. They meter these things through. I mean, you know, so every few years you come back to court, the court reviews it, and I think you want to catch them as they have these regular court reviews. And I just don't know that, you know, perhaps, you know, if Mr. Backus can scribble something out right now, or perhaps it's one of those issues that, you know, at the full finance committee we can probably address it better. Just leave the language as it is here and then have another shot at it there.
Mr. Chair and Senator Betzel, how about if we were to insert at the end of line 1.10, and Ms. Backus could help us, but perhaps after the 2009 insert or until the next annual account is approved by the court. So, or until the next annual account is approved by, it doesn't fit with that. I'm willing to work on that concept as we go to the Finance Committee to make sure that we do it right. I mean, I think I understand, and I want to fulfill that intent. And I don't think I'm here in opposition to that.
Are we looking at something that, because it says the bond requirement under this paragraph does not apply before August 1st, 2009, which is not very far away. I mean, by the time we pass this, it essentially is going to be changed. So the coverage of individuals between now and August 1st, is that what you're reaching to cover?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that this sentence is okay because what we're trying to say is that the bond requirements under this paragraph, we have to start a trigger date. I think August 1, 2009 is okay for me because once we pass this, people have noticed that come August 1, 2009, we're going to move in this direction. So I think it would be inappropriate to make it immediate or sooner than that. I think it's important to give the public notice of the August effective date. But what we do want to incorporate into that is then to put the ones who are grandfathered in on notice that the next time you come up for review or for approval, that then you will then be covered under the new law.
Senator Betzel, do you have
I think I've got some suggested language here. Again, you know, maybe it can be modified later on, but at least we can get something in the bill here. If you look at the A7 Amendment, right before on page 1, line 10, right before the period, I'll read this, but shall apply as current conservatorships are reviewed by the court after August 1, 2009. I'll read that again. But shall apply as current conservatorships are reviewed by the court after August 1, 2009.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, our effective dates usually say they are effective on such and such a date. And this one is kind of backwards. It says it doesn't apply until that date. And I'm wondering whether the shall not apply on 1.10 should be applies. and then before become after. So it applies to conservators appointed after July 1st, or on or after,
well,
or whatever.
Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, the bill is going to have an August 1 effective date. If it becomes law, and what that means is that the bond requirements will kick in on August 1st. That's the new law, and the courts have to apply that. Okay. What we don't know is what happens to all those conservatorships that exist today. And we don't want to just say all of a sudden, okay, on August 1st of 09, where's your bond? Because, you know, they didn't have one. Now, what the A7 amendment says is that it doesn't apply. I mean, you know, don't worry about it right now. You know,
so
this isn't
the effective date?
No, this is not the effective date. This is a grandfathering in of the current ones, but it doesn't deal with the situation of what do they do when they come back to court a few years from now for their regular review, as they must. Then we want to say, okay, by the way, welcome back. Nice to see you again. By the way, there's a new bond requirement that you're going to have to meet. And so as a meter through the system in future years, we'll eventually catch them all. But the effective date of the bill is going to apply to all new conservatorships from and after August 1.
You're suggesting that the language that you proposed will meet the requirements of that?
Mr. Chair, I think it's some language that we could put in right now and probably have Ms. Pontius take another look at it and see if there's a way to rework the language and have the interested parties look it over as well, too. But at least I think we've expressed what our desire is to have that done. Let's say better than nothing.
Is there anyone in the audience that wants to add in anything? You have completed your presentation, Mr. Davies?
We still have
his amendment. Yeah. I'll move my oral amendment, Mr. Chair. Page 1, line 10. Before the period, insert the words, but shall apply as current conservatorships are reviewed by the court after August 1, 2009.
You've heard that. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Higgins renews her motion to approve this legislation and send it to the full committee. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails. And
thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Meeting adjourned.